Well, the scripture that the Lord's laid on my heart for this afternoon is Acts chapter 18, the book of Acts. Acts 18. And I like to look at verses 24 through 28. All right, let's begin at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews that publicly, showing by the scriptures, that Jesus was Christ. Charles Hodge writes regarding the importance of being mighty in the scriptures, and he applies this to the ministers, but I would apply it to all Christians here, the importance of being mighty in the scriptures. But listen to what Charles Hodge says. He says, the whole power of a minister, or I'd say Christian, as such, is a power in the scriptures. This exists in different degrees, but it is all that any minister or Christian has, be it much or little. It is therefore the one object to be sought in preparing for the ministry, without which a minister or Christian, no matter what else he may have of knowledge or talent, will accomplish no good and may do immense harm. It should be the goal of every Christian, not just Christian ministers and gospel preachers, but every Christian, to be mighty in the scriptures. Why? Because it's the only hope for this dark, sin-cursed world. When we think about the scripture, we think about the power of the word, that's the only remedy for a sin-cursed world. That's the only hope that this world has, is God's word, God's truth, God's revealed will to man is in this great book we call the Bible. And so therefore, as Christians, we certainly are to know the word of God. We are to be mighty in the knowledge of the scripture. And that hope that the scripture gives to us is a hope that we can share with the world. There's a verse that comes to mind, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Where does that hope come from when we give an answer? It comes from the word of God. It comes from the scripture. It comes from God's authority, God's truth. The scripture is the only source of God's truth and authority. We believe that this is the revelation, infallible, inspired word of God. And it's the only authority by which man can come to a proper understanding, not only of God, but of himself. Man will never come to understand who he is in this world without the Bible. And he will never come to understand God without the revealed word of God. No man would ever be able to find God apart from the revealed truth of Holy Scripture. That's why Jesus prays in his great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 17. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Therefore, for these two reasons and for many more reasons, all of God's people should strive to be mighty in the scriptures. And the question we have to ask is, and how do we become mighty in the scriptures? How do we attain to that place where we read Apollos attained, mighty in the scriptures? So the title of my message is simply, how to become mighty in the scriptures. How do we do this great power that the world needs to be saved. And there are three really points I want to propose to you how we become mighty in the Scriptures. First, we have to know the content of Scripture. Obviously, you have to know the content of the Scripture. If you don't know what's in the book, you can't be mighty in the Scriptures. Obviously, we've got to know it. Then we need to learn the purpose of the Scripture. And then we have to share the message of Scripture. Those are the three things. You can see it's a logical progression here of how we become mighty in the Scriptures. We have to know the content, we have to learn the purpose, and we have to share the message. And all these elements that we're going to look at, we find here in the life of Apollos, in the life of every Christian. So the first point, how do we become mighty in the Scriptures? Know the content of Scripture. We have to know this book. It says in Acts chapter 18, verse 24, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus." There's some important details here in verse 24 that we need to make light of, and that is, first, Apollos was from Alexandria. Where was Alexandria? What part of the world? If you said Egypt, you're right. Alexandria, Egypt. That was the most learned city in the Greco-Roman world at the time. That's where all the scholars went to. That's where they went to learn and to study and to not only study religion, but study philosophy. This was like the Mecca of learning. And since Apollos had been instructed in the way of the Lord in Alexandria, what does that tell you? It tells you that Christianity had reached Egypt by this time. It tells you that the gospel had come to Alexandria and Apollos was there. And he embraced it. He received it. And he became a Christian there in Alexandria. However, with the knowledge that he had, his knowledge of Christianity was deficient. He didn't know everything about the things of the Lord, but he knew enough to preach and to teach the things regarding the Scriptures. But that suggests, doesn't it, that he knew the content of the Scriptures. And when we say the content of the Scriptures, we're talking about the Old Testament. Apollos knew the Old Testament. He knew where things were in the Old Testament. He knew where to find things in the Old Testament. He knew where to go to prove certain things of doctrine and teaching in the Old Testament. He knew it. And he was certainly a man not alone when it came to the knowledge of Scripture. In addition to not only his knowledge of the Old Testament, he had a fervency about it. He had a longing, a desire to do this. It wasn't just something that was a mere duty. He enjoyed studying the Scripture. He loved it. He loved to go into God's Word and find truth and discover new things from the Word of God. It says here that he was fervent in the Spirit. In addition to him knowing the content of Scripture, he was fervent, which meant he was serious about his new dawning faith in Christ. When we become mighty in the Scriptures, the very first thing is we have to open our Bibles and we have to start reading our Bibles, right? It's really a fundamental and elementary point, but that's how you become mighty. You have to start by opening the Bible and studying the Word and finding out what is in these books and what are the themes of these books and what is the message of these books. Well, Apollos knew all that. Apollos spent years and years learning the content of Holy Scripture and studying the Word of God and becoming so familiar and acquainted with the Word of God. The Scripture says he was mighty in it. He was mighty in the Scripture. Boy, isn't that a wonderful thing to be known for? Knowing the content of the Scripture. It was said of John Bunyan, the great Puritan, that John Bunyan knew so much Scripture that he bled Bibline, they said. Instead of blood, what poured out of John Bunyan was the Bible. Because the Bible was so part of his nature, so part of who he was. And so too, Apollos was this type of man. And it's a tremendous testimony to how the power of God's Word can affect us in such a mighty way. But these are some of the things that we learn about this man, Apollos. Apollos knew the content of Scripture. And the fact is, and you and I know this, everyone here in this room knows this, is that the earlier in life we can learn the content of Scripture, the better, right? The earlier you start, the better you are, because you have that foundation, right? Parents are called to train their children in the fear and nurture of the Lord. And one of the ways to do that is to get Scripture into them, to help them memorize the Word, to help them know the books of the Bible, to help them go through what these books, their message is in each of the books, and to discover new things in the Scriptures, always into the Word of God daily. I think of a great example of this young man was Timothy, a person we considered earlier this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Timothy knew the holy Scriptures. What does that say? He knew the content of the Scriptures. He knew when someone would talk about an Old Testament book like Exodus or Genesis, he knew what was in those books. And he knew what the stories were in those books and the teachings in those books and the verses and the doctrines in those books. He knew those things. And he delighted in those things, just like Apollos does. And this is something that as you spend more time in the Word and as you spend more time seeking the Lord gives you more of that fervency and desire for His Word. What does Jesus say in the Beatitudes? "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled," right? So that principle carries over to knowing the content of the Scripture. The more we want to know this book, the more we study this book, the more we get into this book and open this book, the more we will be mighty in the Scriptures. How much time did you spend in the Word this week? Did you open the Bible this week? Did you even open it once? Did you open it several times? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves and examine ourselves when it comes to this whole subject of being mighty in the Scriptures. If we don't open the Bible and read the Bible, we can't expect to be mighty in the Scriptures. And the fact is, this requires great discipline and commitment to do. It requires sometimes great sacrifice. We are always being pulled in so many different directions and different ways to do things, always. And it's so easy, and it never fails, that if I say to myself, I'm going to read the Scripture now, all of a sudden the telephone rings, right? I get this buzzer on my cell phone, or someone knocks at the door, or my voice is being called, "Dad." And you're always having to deal with those things, those distractions, right? But the fact is, if you want to be mighty in the Scriptures, and I believe we all do, if I went to each person and asked you, "Do you want to be mighty in the Scriptures?" would you say no? Of course not. Well, how do you become mighty in Scripture? It doesn't just happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen by me touching you and saying, "Here, I know Scripture. I'm going to pass my Scripture learning into you." It doesn't happen that way. You've got to do it. You've got to gird up your loins. You've got to be able, like Apollos, to study the Word, to have that diligency and fervency for the Word of God. And that's something that we all have to develop. And it takes development. It takes discipline. It takes sacrifice to be mighty in the Scriptures. One of the great illustrations of a people that had a fervency to study the Scriptures daily were the Bereans. You know the Bereans, right? In Acts chapter 17, we read these Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Right? So the Bereans had this desire to know the Word of God, not just on one day of the week. They wanted to do it daily, studying the Scriptures. And when someone came and taught them from the Scripture, they wanted to make sure that what they were saying was scriptural. They wanted to make sure that what they were saying wasn't just an opinion of man or just some collection of philosophy, but they could go into the Word of God and compare Scripture with Scripture and find out that this indeed is the Word of God, this man's teaching. And you and I are required to do the same thing. See, Christians are required to think and to study and to be mighty in the Scriptures. The difference between the Thessalonians and the Bereans was that the Thessalonians were so emotional. They didn't care about what the Scripture said to a point. They just reacted in emotion and they attacked Paul and they caused Paul great harm. Why? Because they didn't bother to open the Bible and study it out. The Bereans did it differently. They heard Paul come And they said, this man is preaching from the Old Testament, passage in Exodus or the Psalms. Let's go to this passage and see what he's talking about and see if he's right. The Thessalonians closed the Bible. The Bereans opened their Bible. And the difference was they were more noble than the Thessalonians because they opened their Bibles and they studied the Word of God. There's no good thing for the Bible to just be sitting on your coffee table collecting dust. That's not the purpose of the Bible. The Bible is to be opened, to be studied, and to be known. And that's one of the first things, the first steps in being mighty in the Scriptures is to know biblical content. Isn't that really what the psalmist says in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There is this going on with the Lord, studying the Scriptures day and night. Not just one day in particular, but every day. That's hard, isn't it? Be honest. That's a hard thing to do, men. When you work all day, you're tired. Sometimes you're probably a little irritable when you come home. I know I am sometimes. And the fact is, I haven't been in the Word yet. I haven't really thought upon much quality in the Word. The last thing the flesh wants to do is study the Word. The last thing the flesh wants to do is to open that Bible and spend time with the Lord on your knees studying the Word of God. And yet, if you want to be mighty in the Scriptures, we have to do that. We've got to put the priorities in the right order. And that is, this is a priority that has to be there. Apollos put the priority in the right order. He put the Scriptures first. He sought the Lord. So a person mighty in the Scripture knows the content of Scripture. It starts with opening and reading your Bible. And of course, that's a fundamental principle. But yeah, it's something we need to be reminded of. Because we can so easily slip into bad habits. One day may pass when we didn't read. And then, oh, I got another day I didn't read. All of a sudden, it's a week. All of a sudden, it's 2 weeks. Now, all of a sudden, it's 3 weeks. It's a month. You know, it happens. You and I know. It can happen very quickly and very easily, right? So that's the first thing when it comes to being mighty in the Scripture. We have to know the content of the Scripture. The second thing, a person learns the purpose of Scripture. What good is there to have all this content and all this Scripture if you don't even know what the purpose of this book is? There is one purpose in this book. And many people know the content of Scripture, but they miss the purpose of it, right? That's what the Pharisees were. That's the tragedy of the Pharisees and the Jews, is that when Christ came, Christ was basically saying to the Pharisees and the Jews that I am the purpose of Holy Scripture. All that Scripture that you learned, all that Scripture that you know, it's about me. And they rejected that. Why? Because they didn't understand the purpose in all the biblical content. Apollos needed to learn that too. We read here in verse 8:26, Acts 8, verse 26. And he, that is Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. See, here is a man who knew the Scripture and he had a fervency for Scripture, but he had a deficiency. He needed to be taught. He needed to learn, right? More perfectly the way of the Lord. And he did it. One of the keys when it comes to being mighty in the Scripture is to be teachable. Apollos could have just said in his arrogance, I don't need you. I'm mighty already. I don't need to learn anymore. I've arrived. And yet he didn't have that spirit, did he? He had that humility. He had that spirit where I need to learn more. I know a lot, but I don't know enough. I know a lot, but I need power. I need understanding. I need clarity. I need someone who will come and mentor me. Remember that? We looked at that earlier. We need someone to mentor me. And Aquila and Priscilla were the mentors of Apollos. And they took him under the wing. And they did Apollos a favor and they did the church a favor, didn't they? By discipling this man, this mighty man of God. Who were Aquila and Priscilla? I mean, were they like famous preachers and teachers? No, we learn about them in Acts chapter 18, verses 2 and 3, the beginning of this chapter. It tells us who Aquila and Priscilla were. We read, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. So Aquila and Priscilla were tent makers. The tent makers were first the people who worked in leather. And that was a trade the Apostle Paul did to earn income. They were the friends of the Apostle Paul. And they weren't mighty, mighty preachers or teachers. They were workers, but they were in the church. They were the friends of the Apostle Paul, and they knew a lot of Scripture, and they knew the purpose behind the Scripture. They knew what this book was about. So they took this mighty man of God, Apollos, under their wing, and helped him to grow in his understanding of the Lord. In other words, Aquila and Priscilla were instrumental in the development and discipleship of Apollos. You think about Apollos, you know, this mighty man of God. His name appears in the church in Corinth. Remember, this is a mighty man of God who preached the gospel like the same way Paul did or Peter did. He was in that company. The Spirit had moved upon him and anointed him. And yet it was this Aquila and Priscilla who was instrumental in developing this man to get to that point. He was their mentor. And I'm sure he never forgot these people. Aquila and Priscilla to Apollos, I'm sure, were very special in his heart, because they were the ones that clarified more perfectly the way of the Lord. And that's such a blessing when it comes to being mighty in the Scriptures. Not only knowing the content, but the purpose of the Scripture. And what is the purpose of Scripture? Do we have any statements that you can think of in the Scripture that could summarize the purpose of this book? The verse I thought of was John chapter 20, verse 31. It's the thesis of the Gospel of John, but you could say it's the thesis of the whole Scripture. Listen to what John says in John 20, verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. There it is, right there. John 20, verse 31. The thesis, the purpose of the whole Bible can be summarized in that one verse in John chapter 20, verse 31. And that was something that Apollos had to learn more of, more clarity. He needed to know that all of these Old Testament passages that he understood and he memorized pertain to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that is the fact that, you know, as God's people, we are being sanctified. And this is part of Apollos' sanctification in his development to be a mighty preacher of the gospel, is that he needed to learn more perfectly the way of the Lord. There's a verse also that the Lord Jesus Christ even mentions in John chapter 5. Let me see what verse that is. I don't know off the top of my head. John 5, when he's talking to the Jews, and he says, I think it's John 5, let's see. Yeah, verse 39, John 5, verse 39, Christ says this, and this is an all-telling verse. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. There it is right there. And that's what Apollos was learning from Aquila and Priscilla. He was learning the purpose behind the Scripture, which was what Christ says in John 5:39. I am the purpose. I am the reason. I am the subject. I am the thesis of this book. This book is about me. And he made it very perfectly clear to the Jews. So he wanted them to search all those Scriptures that they knew. And isn't it terrible and tragedy that they knew all these Scriptures? They were given the law of God, and yet they crucified their own Messiah. Right? They did. They crucified their very one who they were reading about, who would come to save them. But their understanding of salvation was all wrong. It wasn't a political salvation. You know, it was a spiritual salvation. Their understanding of all the content of Scripture wasn't applied correctly. And they came to all wrong conclusions, right? So they concluded that Christ must be a blasphemer. That Christ must be a rebel against God. Christ must be an antichrist. He's a deceiver. He's deceiving all these people. And because they didn't know the purpose and the thesis of Scripture, they came to wrong conclusions about who Christ was. And they put him to death. Yet we know that even despite man's wicked acts towards Christ, it was all foreordained for him to die that way, to be that propitiation for sin. But the Jews, because of their unbelief and because of their not understanding the purpose of Scripture, came to all these wrong conclusions and therefore put their own Messiah to death on the cross. What a terrible thing. What an irony, isn't it, to see that there were people that did that to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know that Christ not only says that he is the theme in John 5, but you know the passage in Luke 24, when Christ is walking on the road to Emmaus with his disciples, right? And this is after Christ has died, and no one knows he's risen, and he's walking with these disciples, and he's asking what's happened, and they're shocked. You don't know what happened. Jesus of Nazareth was just crucified, and he tell me more. And then he starts talking. You can tell they are very disgruntled and in a hopeless state. And then and Jesus starts talking, right? And what is he talking about? In the beginning of Moses, he starts to declare to them that these things had to be fulfilled because the things that happened refer to me. And at the end, he revealed himself to them, right? But that's the whole point that is so important when it comes to the being mighty in Scripture. We've got to remember the purpose of Holy Scripture. And that's something that even the mighty Apollos had to learn from these two humble people, Aquila and Priscilla. You know the passage in Acts chapter 8 with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? Remember, there the Lord sends Philip on a mission to this one man out in the desert. Ethiopian eunuch's taking a break in his chariot, and he happens to be reading through Isaiah chapter 53. And he's reading all these terrible things that are happening to this righteous man, right? These sufferings that are going on. And he doesn't know what he's reading about. He says, what does this mean? I don't understand who this man is in Isaiah 53. And then Philip says to him, do you understand what you read? And he says, how can I understand if I have no teacher? There's no one here to tell me what this means. And Philip says, let me tell you what this means. And he went on to preach Christ to him, right? That's where Apollos had to come to. He had to come to that point where he had all these scriptures in front of him, but he didn't know how to put it all together. That's what Christ does to you. When you read the scripture, Christ unites the Old and New Testament. Everything connects. Everything is one. It's not all these loose, disconnected verses and books that have no purpose and no correlation. Christ brings it all together. And that's what Apollos did. Apollos brought it, was taught that Christ is the one that brings it everything together. I think it was Andrew Bonner who said that, you know, the book of Leviticus is one of the hardest books to study in the Old Testament because of all these rituals and customs and sacrifices. How in the world can we understand these things? But when you look at them through the scope of Christ and you see these things through Christ, everything looks very, very clear. That transformed his whole thinking of the book of Leviticus and all the books of the Bible because he put the glasses on, he saw his lenses through Christ and saw even these tough books like Leviticus and Deuteronomy, some of these other books that deal with these laws, make sense now because of Christ and what he did for us as the Lamb of God and as the sacrifice for our sins. So this is a development. This is a process that takes place in becoming mighty in the Scriptures. We know the content, we learn the purpose, and this comes to the third point, and that is a person who's mighty in the Scripture is one who shares the message of the Scripture. So we know, we learn, and we share. Apollos shared what he learned, right? Acts chapter 18, verses 27 and 28. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. And here it is. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. There it is. Now he has more of a complete understanding of Scripture, just not these loose Old Testament content. Now he's got the purpose. Now he can go forth and share the message more clearly, more powerfully. And what was that message? Show the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He could do that now. He was ready. He was able. He wasn't able at one time, but now he's ready because he had been discipled. He had been mentored. He had been taught the truth, right? You could say that Now he is ready to let his light shine forth that men could see his good works. That's what Christ says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. He says this, the words of Christ, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle or put under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Here it is. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You could say here in Acts 18, verse 28, that Apollos was showing forth his good works through his preaching, through his teaching, because he was mighty in the Scriptures. He knew the content, he knew the purpose, and now he could share what he knows. It's totally different when you have that confidence because you've been taught what is truth, and you can grapple with some of these difficult texts in Scripture, and you have an understanding of it. Before you didn't, and now you can come and boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with confidence. Notice the confidence that comes out of Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." See, Paul knew that when he understood the gospel, or you should say when God came and allowed him to understand the gospel, and this power overtook Paul, overtook Apollos, Peter, all the great men of God, he was able now to have this confidence that he wasn't ashamed because he knew it. He wasn't going to be made a fool because he didn't know the gospel. He was going to be made a fool because people hate the gospel. There's a difference, right? It's one thing to talk to someone and sound like a fool when it comes to explaining truth and the doctrine. It's another thing to clearly present the truth and to show forth the gospel and have people say you're a fool when you clearly have given to them the truth. That's a whole different matter than to say, you know what, I don't know how to answer this man. I don't know. I don't have the confidence that he says this question. I don't know. Is this true? Is Christ sinless? Is Christ God? What do I say? I don't know. Instead of saying, there's verses in the Bible that clearly state that Jesus is God, and let me share them with you. And when you share those verses with a person and they still say Jesus isn't God, they're the fool. You're not the fool. But you're the fool when you don't know the verses, when you don't know the Scripture, when you just stand there like an idiot, and you don't have an answer to give. There's nothing holy or spiritual about that. Apollos came to the point where the content of the Bible, the purpose of the Bible, all came together so that when he had opportunity to discuss with these things, the Jews, he was able to discuss from the Scripture the truth of the gospel. And that's power there. That's might. And it's from the Holy Spirit. Let's all make this plain. I think we all know this, that all of this happening here is the work of the Holy Spirit. But it's all done in this model of knowing, learning, and sharing. It happens all the time. That's the way it is. Knowing, learning, and sharing. You know, I'm encouraged, you know, that the young people are, young children are learning your Bible verses. You know, I think Gracie, she quoted from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Was that? Yeah, it was, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you," right? I had three other kids come up earlier this morning and quote verses to me. That's wonderful. I mean, that's great. I mean, for a minister to have that is one of the greatest things you can have in the ministry, to have young children come up and give you scriptures and to memorize the scriptures. But you want these scriptures to be so burned in their hearts that they want more. It's good to have 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 memorized. But there are a lot more verses in the Bible to memorize too. That's a good start. And never forget that verse, but that's a good verse. I remember when I first got saved, the very first verse I memorized was John 3:16. And I've memorized a lot more verses since then. But that's a verse that you have a good starting point, a good foundation. But you always want to add to it. But you never want to get caught up in this mentality that all of this content that I'm knowing becomes subtly a work. Like somehow this is going to make me like better than someone else, right? And there's that subtlety of pride come in, right, in the heart. And think that I really know all this now, right? This flesh puffs up. It's a terrible thing. No, what content should do is to cause us to reinforce the purpose of the Scripture so that we can share it with those who need the Scripture, need to be saved, and who need to be encouraged in the things of the Lord. So the more Scripture you know, the more helpful and useful you'll be in the church. When someone comes up to you and says, you know, I'm going through this thing in my life, I don't know what to do. And don't take it wrong. But you could say, I pray for you, which is good. We certainly do. And you better pray for him if you say you're going to pray for him, right? I'll pray for you. But then I've got some scriptures I want to share with you too. I've been in the same situation. You know, I went through this similar thing. And this scripture helped me through this time in my life. Or that scripture helped me. And boy, the person that's going through that said, you know what? I didn't even think of that. That scripture, that's such a blessing. It's so helpful to me. You see the might and the power in the word? You're not just giving somebody's opinion, or you're not just, you know, blowing someone off and spiritually sounding very nice and say, I'll pray for you, when are you really going to do it? Or if you do it, how else can you help, right? I find in my life that when people share scripture, yes, it's a benefit to them, but I think it's more of a benefit to people that are receiving it. When I hear someone give the word of God, yes, it's nice for the children to give it because it's in their heart, but it's also a blessing for me to hear it because they're quoting to me the word of God. Children are quoting to me the word of God. And I think that's how Christ looked at the children when they came to him. Here are precious souls that perhaps wanted to share with him a scripture. Not sure exactly the situation. But to hear a little child put the word of God into their hearts, it's precious. It's precious. And it's something that is powerful and mighty, not just for the child, but for those who hear it. And this is what's going on in the life of Apollos. Apollos is a man who is now sharing all of this with the world, and the Lord's using his testimony to cause the world to turn upside down. The reason why we want to share the scripture is because of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says this, for Christ sent me not to baptize, and this is what Apollos would be doing right here in Acts 18, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and it will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. See, again, it is written. That's the Old Testament scripture that is being quoted by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, right? He says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Notice, for after that, in the wisdom of God, this gospel that Apollos is preaching and is mighty in is the wisdom of God. This is what God chose to show his wisdom is the gospel of his dear son, Jesus Christ. That the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's not foolishness to those who believe. It's the power of God. But to those who don't believe, it's foolishness, right? But that's the truth. That's the only way. That's the wisdom of God. There's no other wisdom of God that can save man. That is God's choice to save sinners. And there's no other way but through the cross, through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture is the only message worth boasting about. You know, Apollos, Paul, Peter, when they shared the gospel, they boasted about it. And when I say boast, I mean they were confident. They knew that this was the truth and word and wisdom of God when they preached it. It wasn't figured by men or some philosophy. He says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You see, this is mighty in the scriptures. When you share the gospel, this is the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God. How mightier can you get? How more powerful can you get than to preach the wisdom of God? You can't. The question is, are you sharing the glorious message of the Scripture? Well, if you're sharing it, that means you must know it and you must understand it because you've learned the purpose of it. But if you don't share, oftentimes it's a symptom that you're not reading the Bible, you're not in the Word, and you don't have a zeal for souls. They all go hand in hand. All builds upon each other. If you want to share the gospel, you have to know the gospel. You have to learn the gospel. And it's a daily thing. And you have to be ready to share the gospel. Because you never know when some lost soul will come to you. Or you never know when your child will come up to you and say, "Dad, can I talk to you? Mom, can I talk to you? I don't have time. I got to cut the grass, son." Or, "I don't have time. I got to plant flowers. What's wrong?" God give us that sensitivity and that understanding. If we're in the Word, God gives us sometimes a perceptiveness about us, about the situation, because we're in the Word. He gives us wisdom. "What's wrong, honey? I see there's something bothering you." But when we're not in the Word, what happens? We get caught up with ourselves. We get caught up with all we got to do and the things I got on my list. You see how it all works together? This is what Apollos was. He was mighty in the Scriptures. So we got knowing, learning, and sharing the Scripture. That's how a person becomes mighty in the Scriptures. May the Lord help us all to become mighty in the Word of God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do come to you, Lord, and we have heard a message from your Word, Lord, a message that is to exhort us, but maybe to convict us too. Lord, you apply your Word the way you want to, Lord. But it's very clear from this passage in Acts 18 that Apollos was mighty in the Scriptures, and all of God's people must be mighty in the Scriptures. It's just not for ministers or elders or teachers to be mighty, but we all have to be mighty in the Word. Jesus says that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, just as I love the Father and keep his commandments. We all are required to be mighty in the Scriptures. And Lord, I just pray you will help each man here, each woman, each child, to take this message to heart, and to discipline themselves, and to set aside a time to give to the Lord, to study the Word, as the Bereans did, and as Apollos did, and all of God's people, Lord. We do have a desire, but then there are things that come into our lives that make it difficult. Lord, help us to be able to make the time and to study in a way that we can be ready to give an answer of the reason of the hope that is in us with fear and trembling. So bless us, Lord, and help us even this week to apply this Word. Even this evening, help us not, Lord, just to think that this message will be good enough to get me through the week, but help us, Lord, to open the Bible and to study it for ourselves and to know and to learn and to share the Scriptures. For when we do that, the Bible says that we are mighty in the Scriptures. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.